Wake up, bitch, you're my new best friend. Really? Are we going to the zoo?
Previews of coming attractions.
Hi, and welcome to Sunday Night in Cinema 3. Opening this weekend in theaters, we have the 1517 to Paris, which is based on the true story of three American friends who averted a potential terrorist attack on a train in Europe in 2015. Not really something I'm interested in seeing on the big screen, but perhaps I'll watch it on Netflix eventually. Also new this week, 50 Shades Freed, the obligatory conclusion to a trilogy of films inspired by a trilogy of books, which were in turn inspired by a popular series of teen vampire novels written by a Mormon, in which a depressed young woman is stalked and controlled by an immortal, sparkly vampire. It's hard to imagine that the conclusion of the 50 Shades films could be as satisfying as the conclusion of the Twilight films, in which we see so many of the cast decapitated. But if I'm wrong and 50 Shades Freed includes main cast decapitations, please write in and correct me. Finally, new in theaters this week is an adaptation of Peter Rabbit, featuring the voices of James Corden, Rose Byrne, and Daisy Ridley. I assume the intent with this movie would be to hit the same kind of spot as the recent Paddington films, films that are aimed at children, but have high production values and a script that's witty enough that it pleases both kids and the parents. I also assume that the tone of the film would be more in line with the sanitized, modern editions of Beatrix Potter's books versus the sometimes rather grim originals. I don't have any young kids to take to this, so I will skip it on the big screen, but maybe I'll check it out when it's streaming. New on DVD this week is the latest female-centered raunchy comedy, A Bad Mom's Christmas. I enjoyed the first Bad Mom's film and would certainly watch the sequel given the chance, but I don't really feel the need to own a copy. Same story for Only the Brave, the story of heroic mountain firefighters starring Josh Brolin and Jennifer Connelly, Suburbicon, starring Matt Damon and directed by George Clooney, and LBJ, the biography of former President Lyndon Johnson, starring Woody Harrelson. I'd be willing to watch any of them if they came up on a streaming service, but I'm not really interested in buying them. Speaking of streaming, in last week's episode I talked about the original Cloverfield film, and I wondered out loud why there hadn't been a third film in the series. If I had thought to Google that question before publishing the podcast, I would have known that a third Cloverfield film called The Cloverfield Paradox was released straight to Netflix last weekend. I watched it last night, and I enjoyed it, although I was distracted with waiting to understand how it would connect to the first two films. It reminded me in a lot of ways of films like Event Horizon or Danny Boyle's Sunshine, where a spaceship crew is confronted with an alien threat on top of the very difficult task of simply existing in space. Anyway, I did enjoy it well enough. I'm not sure if I feel like I need more of these movies, but they've all been interesting enough so far that I'd certainly give it a chance if they make one.
Previously on Sunday Night in Cinema 3.
10 years ago, I was in Cinema 3 to watch Strange Wilderness, a bizarre comedy starring Steve Zahn as the son of a legendary TV presenter who hosted a syndicated Wild Kingdom-style television show. Threatened with cancellation, Zahn and his crew go to South America to try to find the legendary Bigfoot. After a slow setup, Strange Wilderness finds its rhythm as a stoner road comedy, with a very funny cast that includes Jonah Hill, Joe Don Baker, Justin Long, and Harry Hamlin. At the time, I wrote that it felt like a weird kind of time capsule of comedy, in the vein of Adam Sandler's early films, which makes sense since Sandler's company produced Strange Wilderness. Seeing it again now, it feels exactly the same. Still a weird, timeless, non-classic. It's almost as if Adam Sandler moved house in 2007, and while he was packing, he found a script for a movie he forgot to make in the 90s and told his people to make it for about $1 million by the end of the week. Pace-wise, it staggers from one bizarre sight gag and set piece to another, and concludes with a blown take at well under 85 minutes. All that said, I did enjoy watching it again. I laughed a lot, and was once again horrified and amazed at the turkey scene, which is reason enough to seek out this movie and watch it. Writer Peter Galk and director Fred Wolf have worked together a number of times, and in fact they're releasing a new film this year called Drunk Parents, starring Alec Baldwin and Salma Hayek. As for Strange Wilderness, if you like stoner comedies or Adam Sandler pictures, and you haven't seen this one already, or if you can't remember seeing it because you were baked, you might enjoy it now.
Intermission.
What with the opening of the Winter Olympics in South Korea and the sort of outdoor sports theme of the films this week, let's talk about sports movies for a minute. What are your favorites and why? Here in Canada, you'd probably get a lot of people saying Slapshot with Paul Newman, or if you're from my generation, Youngblood starring Rob Lowe, or if you're a millennial, Goon but with Jay Baruchel. I used to watch a lot of baseball, so not surprisingly, if I had to pick a favorite sports film with a gun to my head, I would say Bull Durham starring Kevin Costner, Tim Robbins, and Susan Sarandon. It's the story of a veteran catcher trying to mentor a green pitcher that the parent club wants to bring up to the big leagues. There's some fun baseball footage and some memorable quips throughout, but the heart of the film is really the love triangle between the leads and how Susan Sarandon provides as much of a mentorship to Robbins as Costner does. I suspect that my wife would pick what is, as far as I can think of, the best soccer film, Bend It Like Beckham, starring Parminder Nagra and Keira Knightley. Like Bull Durham, it's a great coming-of-age movie. Unlike Bull Durham, it's from the female perspective and largely from a non-white perspective. I can't really think of any American football movies that I would want to watch, though there is one coming up on the podcast because I had to watch it for Cinema 3. The Friday Night Lights film was good, but I thought the TV series was much better. I've seen a lot of Usual Suspects over the years, from Ronald Reagan's Gipper films to Brian's Song to Semi-Tough to Remember the Titans and so on. Most sports films are that kind of conventional, overcoming the odds to win the championship story, and while that can be entertaining, it doesn't tend to stick with me. What I do remember and enjoy the most are the times that the formula gets subverted, like with Rocky or the Bad News Bears. I know that there have been some great basketball movies too, like Hoop Dreams and Hoosiers and Spike Lee's He Got Game, but I can't speak to much beyond those, since I'm not very interested in the sport. I've never taken much interest in the films about the sport. There is a genre of sports film that I will watch no matter what it is, surfing movies. I have a love-hate relationship with surfing, but whatever I manage to do on a surfboard or fail to do, I do love watching people surf, whether it's in coverage of competitions or those ponderous combinations of travelogues and gear commercials that they make, or actual narratives like Blue Crush or North Shore. I've probably seen more surfing movies than all other sports movies combined, so I guess it makes sense to recommend one. The Endless Summer is the one that always springs to mind by default, but I also really enjoyed last year's biography of Laird Hamilton called Take Every Wave, and a documentary from a few years back called Step Into Liquid, so check out either one of those.
And now, our feature presentation.
And finally, from my DVD collection this week, it's the cult comedy favorite Basketball. I have seen this film at least 24 times. It is at a very basic level, based on a true story of the producers, the Zucker brothers and Jim Abrams, who started a similar driveway basketball game like Horse, but with baseball rules, when they were getting started in Hollywood in the 70s. The film shows how a new sport can be corrupted by the influence of capitalism. It's a strange fusion of the Zucker brothers' comedies like Airplane and The Naked Gun, and the referential comedy that dominated the 90s, thanks in large part to South Park creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone, who are the stars of this movie. To make it even more 90s, the love interests are Baywatch's Yasmin Bleeth and noted medical expert Jenny McCarthy. The late Academy Award-winning actor Ernest Borgnine, who had a few scenes in Strange Wilderness, also has a few scenes here as the deranged millionaire who establishes the National Basketball League. The original man from U.N.C.L.E., Robert Vaughn, rounds out the cast as the owner of a rival team who wants to dilute the purity of the game in order to increase profits. Like all of the Zucker comedies, this movie is filled with celebrity cameos, mostly from the world of sports, including broadcasters Tim McCarver, Bob Costas, and Al Michaels. The celebrities get to say some pretty wild things, the kind of things it's hard to imagine a celebrity saying in a film today, even in jest. Much like South Park and many comedies 20 years ago, the humor often leans on casual sexism, racism, and homophobia, but not to an extent where it made me want to stop watching. Of course, your mileage may vary. The script is a pretty boilerplate fusion of a zero-to-hero sports film and A Star Is Born. There are some pop culture jokes that are past their sell-by date, but they are mixed with enough absurdity and slapstick that there's a steady stream of something new to laugh at. Trey and Matt are not what you would call actors who disappear into a role, and they can both come off as stiff sometimes, but they're also so comfortable with each other that you really believe that they're a pair of slackers inventing a driveway basketball game. The secret weapon in this movie is Dean Bachar, I'm not sure, as Squeak, a hilarious actor who's worked with Trey and Matt on many other projects, including South Park and another cult favorite, Orgasmo. I don't remember how I first saw Basketball. I don't think it was on the big screen. It was probably a video rental or on the movie network, but I do have a special memory of it from the theater. 10 years ago, during the original Cinema 3 project, I went to one of the movies with my old friend Keith, while our girlfriends went to see something else. We were hanging out in the lobby waiting for their movie to end, and we amused ourselves by quoting lines from Basketball, something which I'm sure either one of us could still do today. So, if you want to see an unusual sports-based screwball comedy, I highly recommend Basketball, and after you see it, feel free to quote it at me, and I will be sure to quote it back at you. And that is about it, so thank you for listening. See you next week when I will look back at The Bucket List and revisit the great feature-length directorial debut of Martin McDonagh, whose current film, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, is nominated for 7 Oscars. Have a great week.
Roll the credits.
Sunday Night in Cinema 3 is produced, written, and recorded by Scott Marshall. That's me. With much appreciated help from Nicole Slip and the nice people at the Central Branch of the Halifax Public Library. Sunday Night in Cinema 3 is copyright 2018 by Scott Marshall, all rights reserved. Please send your feedback, questions, or concerns to Sunday Night in Cinema 3, that's the number 3, not the written out word 3, at gmail.com or through social media. Visit SundayNightInCinema3.com for our links to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and whatever other social media platforms I can stand to deal with. This podcast does not have any advertisements because I figure we all have enough advertising in our lives, but it does have some modest expenses. So if you'd like to support the podcast, you can check out my Patreon at patreon.com/ScottMarshall. That's 2 T's, 2 L's. For as low as $1 a month, you will have exclusive benefits, including outtakes and bonus material from the podcast, a heads up on what's coming up from me, and access to other exclusive digital content that I haven't even thought of yet. The Patreon also has a community forum where you can talk to each other or ask me questions, and if you subscribe for $5 a month or more, you will receive regular packages of physical stuff from me in the mail, including comics, art prints, stickers, game prototypes, and whatever else I can think of to send. Whatever you do, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. See you next Sunday in Cinema 3.
Good night.